First things first. Somebody say first. It's something important, I believe, my brothers and sisters, about the first of anything. You know, the first time something happens, you don't quite know what it's going to be like until it happens. You can hear about it, you can anticipate it, you can expect some things of it, but the first time it happened, you have to actually live through that experience, right? Firsts are important. In fact, we count time. In theology, we count time two ways. There's chronos time, and then there's kairos time. But chronos time is your calendar time. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's January, February, March. But kairos time is events time. And we look at those first things, a lot of time they are eventful. Like that first birthday. Are those also blessed with children? You know how it is, that first birthday, you want to go all out. You have a big throwdown. We're going to do something for Johnny at school. We're going to have a party for Susie in the park. You know, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese's and all that stuff. First. By the time you get 5 years old, forget that. We done with that stuff. Happy birthday, baby. I'll take you to McDonald's. But first, it's important. Order, listen to me, somebody. Order and priority can be important in people's lives. I believe the two texts I read to you, God is teaching us the importance of order. I believe God is teaching us the importance of priority and putting first things first. I was assembling something sometime. You know, I'm not the best of handy people, but I was assembling something. I figured I was smart like that, so I wasn't going to read all the manual. I mean, they have this manual, this thing. I wasn't going to do that stuff, you know. So even though they had a little, you know, quick start page, I bypassed that too. I looked at it, oh, this stuff looks simple. We're going to hang this projector. This looks like it goes here. This look like it goes there. This look like it goes here. I got to be right. So I go, drilling all this stuff and smack dead wrong. Wrong order. First things first. For those of you who are students of math and those of you who are teachers of math, you know, when we have multiple operations in a problem, we teach our students the order of operation. Right? So if you got addition, subtraction, all in one problem, it gets confusing. I found a lot of my students struggle with that. So we tell them to remember, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. That's a way to remember parentheses first, and then exponents, and then multiplication, division, addition, subtraction, in that order. If you follow that order, when you're solving problems, you'll get to the right solution. If you don't follow that order, you will arrive at the wrong conclusion. And I think God is teaching us the importance of following order. I mean, people know when God gives instructions, he wants you to simply follow the orders. He said to Abraham a long time ago, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. He said, your seed will be multiple, more than the sands on the ground. Abram heard that, received that, and then didn't follow the order. God said, I've spoken it, now you just need to wait for it. After a while, wasn't nothing happening? Abram said, I don't think God meant it that way. So, sir, we're going to help God out. How many people ever try to help God out sometime? And every time we do that, we mess up the plan of God for our lives. And he brought Hagar, they had Ishmael, but guess what? That was not the plan of God. Can I tell somebody something? If God said something, he means it. And whatever he speaks, he can accomplish. The challenge is always for me to wait, hold steady, and trust that whatever he said shall come to pass. Order is important to God. Order is important to God. You're flying, they have safety instructions. You know, I find it amazing. Every time on the plane, I zoom into those instructions, even though I've been on the plane plenty of times. But I also look around me and I notice a lot of people don't even pay attention to that stuff no more. You know, you've flown so many times, you know exactly what they're going to say. Show you that card. They tell you if we lose pressure in the cabin, this is going to fall. This mass is going to fall off the top. You put that on first and then you try to help somebody else. You heard that before on the plane? Yeah. Put that on first. And then try to help somebody in that order. You can have your little grandbaby with you. Put that on first. Why, God? Because if you don't take care of yourself first, you are not able to take care of somebody else. So put that on first. Get first things done first. And then you can take care of second things and third things and fourth things and seventh things. God is telling us something important. When Paul said to Timothy, he said, set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Watch this. He's telling a young man to set an example for the whole church. Paul planted the church, so he knew that there were folks there who were older than Timothy, wealthier than Timothy, and were trying to intimidate the young preacher. I know we don't do that at this church, but there are so many places where folks try to intimidate. They use their connections, they use their placement in different ministry areas, they use their standing. I give a lot of money here so I can say X and I can say Y. Saw the church in Baltimore many years ago with my 28 members. Everybody in the group was older than myself. And we would sit in the meeting, and there was a particular gentleman. He had a strong sense of presence. He was tall, he was very majestic, he was very successful, had his own business and all that stuff. He would sit and not say a lot. But every time he spoke, he would say, "Well, I don't think we should do that. Well, we are not going to do that." And so the young pastor is sitting there trying to process that. Okay, so I only got 28 people. I can't afford to lose anybody. I need everybody. And then I got somebody who have a successful business. He could probably provide some resources for the ministry. And every time we sit at the table, well, Reverend, we are not going to do that. Well, I don't think we should do that. And after about 3 months of that, I just figure we're not going to have that "I don't think" anymore. We just have to cut that. I read Paul's letter to Timothy. He said, don't let folks intimidate you. You know why? Because whoever God calls to do something has the full authority and the backing of God. Acts David, he was pretty young. But when God raised him up, God said, you are going to get this job done. And so the big dude couldn't handle the little boy. Because when God stands behind you, can nobody come against you and succeed? First things first. God wants us to put things in order. First things first. Tank up spiritually. Get your spiritual oxygen so that you can help other people. Get that praying going. Get that studying going. Get that giving going. Get that serving and worshiping. When you are tanked up, then you can help other people. Otherwise, two people are going to die because one person didn't follow the order. First things first. The question becomes, where should I put first things first in my life, Pastor? Which compartments? There's three of them. The first one, put first things first in your spiritual relationships. In your spiritual relationships. Jesus is teaching. They're asking a question. I said, Master, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22. You get down to verse 37, Jesus started to respond. He said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, your strength. He said, that's the first. Somebody said first. That's the first and the greatest commandment. He said, and then the second is like unto the first. He said, love your neighbors as yourself. What are you saying, Jesus? Jesus is establishing the priority of spiritual relationship. First things first, get connected with God. Make sure you love God, and don't love and have haphazardly. Love God wholly, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Once I get that grounding, then I can love my neighbor as myself. If I love God, I have no problem loving my neighbor. Even my neighbor get on my nerves sometimes. Don't look at your neighbor, look straight at me. First things first in your spiritual relationship. Throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, God showed us the importance of our relationship with Him, and He stressed that that was a priority for the people of God. Come on, Moses. Moses passed on the leadership to Joshua. Joshua was going to take Israel into the promised land. And then Joshua wanted it. Moses said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You see that? He passed on to Joshua the importance of spiritual relationship. He didn't say, Joshua, I know you're a good military trained dude. He didn't say, I know you got courage. You scouted the land and you said we should take the land. Yes, what I really want to tell you, I want you to know that you ought to keep the word of God in your spirit. You ought to have it on your lips. You ought to meditate on it so that you will not depart from it. Listen to what he said. He said, be careful to follow everything that's written in it. Then you will be successful. So if I have a good, healthy relationship with God, I stand a good chance of getting things done. How many people know sometimes you need that extra effort? Your schooling wouldn't do it. Your intellect wouldn't do it. Your money can't buy everything. You need God to just get some things done for you. If your spiritual relationship is right, you have a shot. It is God who will and does according to His good pleasure. Everything is not just 1 + 1 = 2. In God's economy, sometimes 1 + 1 = 9. And God knows we need 9. So all we get is 1 + 1 = 2. In the limitation of our resources, we're never going to get the things done. Spiritual relationship not only ground us, but spiritual relationship will grow us. And that growth will help us in so many areas of our lives. You're raising your children. There's no playbook. You do the best you can. And trust that God is going to help them be what He wants them to be. Sometimes you can do everything and still things don't turn out the way you expected. But if you have a spiritual relationship with God, you can have peace from God. That all things will work together for good. For those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose. Moses passed on the leadership to Joshua by prioritizing the spiritual relationship with God. 400 years later, David came. And he's getting old. He's passing on to his son. In 1 Chronicles, he said the exact, almost the same thing. He said, worship God, serve Him faithfully. Solomon did that, and God blessed him with the privilege of completing the temple. I'm trying to help you understand something. If you and I prioritize our spiritual relationship with God, if we invest in it, you will see some benefits, some fruits. You will reap from places you've never sown. Have anybody ever experienced a blessing coming from the south when you sow it in the north? God will send people to bless you from different directions where you didn't even sow a seed. That's the power of spiritual investments. Where should first things be first in our lives, in our spiritual relationship, but also in your professional relationships? In your professional relationships. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, Paul said, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer just beating the air. He says, no, I strike a blow at my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, listen, after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In my professional relationships, I want to make sure I do the best I can. You say, what does that look like, Pastor B? Yeah, yes, what it look like. In my professional relationship, I'm actually representing God. You hear what I just said? I'm actually representing God. What does that mean? I take a hymnal and a Bible to work? No, you don't have to. But you serve as if you were serving God. That's what the Bible says in Colossians. You serve as if you were serving God. So if I am a child of God and I understand I ought to put things first in my professional life, that means I'm giving everything my best shot. I can't be a slacker on the job. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my job. My supervisor is crazy. The folks be tripping. That's got nothing to do with you. Because of your spiritual relationship, there ought to be an overflow in your professional relationship. So you don't come late every day and leave early every day and then expect a full week's pay. That's not taking advantage and being putting things first in your personal relationship. So when I'm filling my time sheet, I remember that I ought to put first things first in my professional relationship. I bring my integrity. I bring my honesty. I bring my sincerity. Amen, Lice. I bring all of that to the table. I am representing God. I am not 2 Corinthians 7 and 20. Or 5 and 20. I am that ambassador of Jesus Christ on my job. So I am doing well on my job. I ought to give it my best shot. Can I tell you something? People are always watching more than you know. Always. Always. I used to be a public school teacher in my other life. And I had a great team leader. And she got sick suddenly, and 4 months later, she was gone to heaven. For 10 years, she had been the leader of the team. For 10 years, she never missed a day. Anybody who work in the inner city of Baltimore in the public school and you don't miss a day, you're an angel from heaven. 10 years, she never missed a day. I miss days. She never missed a day. 10 years. And all of a sudden, she was gone. And so, yeah, we were as a team, all 8 of us sitting in the room trying to figure who's going to be the next team leader. Well, for 10 years, we never had that conversation. And so nobody had the playbook. Nobody knew the rules. Nobody knew what to do. I had just joined the team. I was just starting my second year. And so we said, let's call the principal. Maybe he can give us some direction. The principal comes, he stands at the door. So, well, how do we go about finding our team leader? He asked the question. Who's been leading? Who's been leading? He said, whoever's been leading should be the leader. Whoever's been leading. I didn't know I was doing most days, but I came to work early. I wanted to be prepared for my students. I left late. I wanted to make sure everything was straight. I volunteered to mentor my team, the lacrosse team. I gave tutoring classes. I gave of myself because I felt like I was serving God. I felt like I was making a difference. I felt like I was impacting lives. And so in my second year, I became the leader of a bunch of veterans. I got to tell you, those were 2 tough years for me because a lot of my colleagues weren't too happy because they felt they were next in line. Who's been leading? You think nobody's watching? You think nobody's paying attention? God is always watching. God is always paying attention, and he will pour out his favor because you are doing the best you can. In our professional relationship, you say, but Pastor, I'm not a professional. I'm just a student. I'm in school. Well, that's your profession right now, baby. So you go to school and do well. Do those assignments. Study well. Be on task on time. That's your full-time gig. Do it well. serve God that way. So when God looks at you, he can be pleased with you. Put first things first so the devil don't steal from you what God has in store for you. First things first in spiritual relationships, in professional relationships, and then in personal relationships. Put first things first. I believe a Christian's life, my brothers and sisters, is the window to which others come to see Jesus. So when they look through your window, what do they see? When they look through my window, what will they see? It's an old saying that says, practice makes perfect. Let me qualify that. Good practice lead to good perfection. And bad practice lead to bad perfection. If you practice shooting the ball like you are the only person on the court, you will be shocked when you come to the game and somebody's up in your face. So you have to practice as if somebody else would be on the other side trying to prevent you from shooting the ball. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In our personal relationship, we ought to lead our lives in such a way that when we move from the personal to the professional and to the spiritual, we already have the foundation. In other words, practice at home and in those personal relationships how you want God to deal with you. You hear what I just said? So if you want God to be merciful unto you, if you want God to be forgiving, then you yourself must be merciful. Then you yourself must forgive. He said, but oh, preacher, you don't know my story. You don't know my circle. That stuff, man, I got some crazy folks in my circle. I keep doing. They don't appreciate. I'm tired of forgiving. But ask God. How many times has he forgiven me? How many times has he been merciful to me? How many times has he given me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance? How many times I've been stiff-necked and knucklehead and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength was made perfect in your weakness. In all your foolishness, I will raise up a person of faith in spite of you. So in my personal relationship, I have to reflect that. I can't be a terrible parent at home and try to be a dynamic preacher out here. God is not going to honor that. I have to practice diligence, respect, honor, gratitude, appreciation. So in my personal relationship, I honor people. Even if there are folks who you think are not deserving of honor, remember God is the judge. You leave that to him. You do your part. That's called sowing. And God's going to bless you for the good things that you do. In our personal relationship, I put first things first. I realize that the first shall be the last sometimes, and the last shall be the first. I understand that those who want to be great must serve. And so in my personal relationship, I try to help people meet the needs of others. Is that always easy? No. No. You're dealing with family and friends and people close to you. Sometimes they don't take you seriously. Don't feel too bad. Jesus warned us. A prophet has no honor in our own home. When we started church, I used to do some crazy things. The pulpit was elevated. And I would get all excited. I'd be running up and down, doing all this crazy stuff. And one Sunday, I just jumped right off the pulpit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I realized many Sundays I preach hard. Folks would just look at me. Sometimes they'll clap, sometimes they'll hug. This particular Sunday, I'll never forget that. Because I had two services that day. This particular Sunday, I work hard preparing. It's one of those topics that are hard to preach from. You know, everything in the Bible, not easy to preach from. You can preach about God parting the Red Sea every Sunday. That'd make people shout, jump up and down. But that's not fit for preaching. There's some other things in the Bible you need to talk about. And I was preaching on a difficult topic. And I work all week on it. And I said, God, this is going to be good. I got this, God. You're going to, I work this stuff. It's well researched. And boy, I said, okay. Maybe, I'm sure it was good. It had to be good. I put all this stuff into it. So maybe people just having a bad day. Nobody feel like shouting today. That's okay. They'll tell me at the door. All right, at the door. Have a good day, Reverend. Bye, Reverend. I decided, one time in my 21 years, I've never preached the same sermon. I always love a fresh word. That particular Sunday, I got to confess, my spirit was down. I'm like, God, I must have done something wrong. I probably didn't live right this week. You took your anointing from behind me. These people didn't respond in no kind of way. I took the same message, and I went to my afternoon service to a different church. I get up in the pulpit and I said, God is going to do something here today. And people just started clapping. I said, what? I didn't say nothing yet. I just said, God, do something. And I preached that same message. And people were standing and clapping and sitting down, standing and clapping and sitting down. What happened? Because the first place, I was at home. Oh, man, it's just Pastor B. He's a good preacher, but we see him every Sunday. All the economists, yeah, you know, diminishing returns. It's just, See that? It's hard to evangelize at home. It's hard to witness at home. It's hard to keep extending grace at home. But if you can get that down at home, you are best positioned to do it anywhere else. In fact, God will give you greater grace because you can do it in a place where it's tight and it's tough. First thing first, the Bible talks in plenty of terms about our family relationships and how God thinks we should treat that. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, honor your husband. Father, take care of your children. A man who doesn't take care of his children is worse than an infidel. Been better had he not been. Bible speaks about our accountability and responsibility for the family. Because God knows if we can get it right at home, then we can elevate in the professional places. And in high spiritual places. Listen, if I can't work on this stuff personally, God is never going to elevate me spiritually. So first things first. God is up to something. Put your hands together and thank God for you. Stand and shade.